Today we want to think on the subject Truth Desired, and this is the second part of what we looked at last week. In Psalm 119, verse 30, we read, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Last week we considered God's desire for us is concerning the truth. And in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, we read, As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's a hymn called Honey in the Rock, and it goes like this. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you tasted the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. And then the chorus says, Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Today we want to look at what our desire for the truth should be. We read in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. For my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. In Psalm 15, David, in prayer, asks the question about who can abide in fellowship with God. The question is found in verse 1 and is essentially like this. Lord, who can abide in fellowship with you? And that is an important question. If a believer has any spiritual desire at all, it is, Lord, I want to daily live in close fellowship with you. How can I do that? And in verse 2, God gives the answer to that question. He says, He who speaks the truth in his heart. At first, it looks as though this statement is just one among many statements he makes in that chapter. Then he continues with what will follow if the truth is in our hearts. Then we will live blamelessly. We will be just in our dealings. We will not slander others. We will not treat our neighbor wrongly. We will not make false accusations against others. We will not despise a vile person. We will honor those who love the Lord, and we will keep our promise, even if it involves personal loss. And lend without interest, and not take a bribe against an innocent person. So these are the things that will be true if we're living with truth in our hearts. Remember Psalm 51:6, which says, Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. God desires truth in the heart, and when it is, we will walk in fellowship with God, and our life will be characterized in these ways as seen in Psalm 15. Notice some of the statements and promises we find in the following scriptures. First of all, concerning our daily living. Psalm 86:11 says, Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The word walk refers to our daily conduct, the things we do, the way we act, whether it's at the job or at home or doing business or whether it's enjoying some pleasure. David's prayer was, Lord, teach me how to live daily according to your word, which is the truth. I want to reverence and honor your name in everything I do, and that should be our desire also. In addition to statements and promises concerning our daily living, we find those concerning prayer. In Psalm 145, verses 1 to 19, we read some of this. The Lord is near all who call upon him. To all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Now, this is both a desire and a promise. First of all, the desire. To call upon him in truth means that when we pray, we are concerned that God's will is done, that his name is glorified, that people will be saved, and that his work will be carried on. Prayers in truth are never self-centered or selfish. We want God's will done more than anything else in the world. And that's what praying is in the truth. Yes, prayer includes praying about needs, whether they're material or financial, or physical, or emotional, or social, or spiritual, but our praying is never selfish or self-centered. Lord, thy will be done. I want what will bring the most glory to your name. And that's what our prayer should always be. That which will bring glory to God and will be according to his will. Secondly, the promise of God. God will hear, fulfill our desires, and give victory. Thirdly, in addition to promises concerning daily living and prayer, God gives promises concerning serving the Lord. In 1 Samuel 12:24, it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." It's hard to separate walking with the Lord and serving the Lord, because serving the Lord involves more than teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir or going on visitation or some other type of activity. Serving the Lord means we do what God wants us to do every moment of the day. When we go to work, we are there to represent Jesus Christ in the quality of work we do, in the way we talk, in the way we respond to problems, in the way we use our breaks, who we seek to be a witness for him. That's serving the Lord. When we are at home, we serve him by the way we interact with our spouse and family, and by the way we use our time and by the decisions we make. So wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever decision we make, we seek to serve Jesus Christ and please Him, and we seek to be a witness for Him. And this is what we also do in and through the church. We are to serve Him faithfully or in truth, according as God's Word teaches. And we are to serve Him with all our hearts, or wholeheartedly, not just enough to get by or to please people, but wholeheartedly because God has done such great things for us and because we love Him so much. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man." And then fourthly, concerning our speech, in Ephesians 4:14-15, we read that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men or the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. The Bible has much to say about the use of our tongue for good or for evil. Paul said to the Ephesian believers that we should mature spiritually, become Christ-like in our lives, and firmly believing and holding to what God's Word teaches, and be discerning and lovingly speak the truth. The word speaking involves more than just the tongue. Dr. Ironside said, it really means manifesting the truth in love, which would involve every area of our life. But the tongue is a part, and of course, a very important part of this. The things we say, the way we say things, the attitudes we express as we talk, as well as being truthful in all parts, in being truthful, are all part of speaking the truth in love. And let me explain what this means by a statement that old Dr. Ironside said, "I have heard people say of certain things, yes, yes, he seems to say things all right, but I do not see much evidence of divine love in his life." And then I heard people sometimes bear witness of others in this way: "I believe in what Mr. So-and-so says because he lives it out from day to day." And that needs to be true in each of our lives. A young man was asked the question, "What have you found to be the best translation of the New Testament?" And without a moment's hesitation, he answered, "My mother's." And his friend said, "Your mother's? I didn't know she was a scholar. Did she translate the New Testament?" And his answer was this: "My mother was not a scholar. She could not read a word of Greek, but she translated the New Testament into her beautiful life, and that made more of an impression on me than anything else I have ever known." And that's what we should say, and that is what we should desire to do, not only to speak the truth, but also to show it by the way we live. Solomon challenged us to live, act, serve, pray, and talk according to the truth all the time. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart." And the promise in Proverbs 3:2 says, "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." How can we do all this? 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, "Hold fast to that which is truth, and put away that which is not truth." We need to put everything to the test, and that is to ask, is it according to what God's Word teaches? So the things I do, and the way I act, and the things I say, are they according to what God's Word teaches? Am I being obedient to the Word of God, which is the truth? With this included, what we read, what we listen to, what we do, and what we think should all be according to what God's Word teaches, according to what the truth of God's Word is. And I trust every one of us might seek to live in obedience to the Word of God, that we might have truth in our hearts and in our lives, and that everything we do and the way we act and the way things we say, that they all manifest the truth of God's Word, and we're living in obedience to His Word. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that when we put our trust in Him, He forgave our sin and He saved our souls. And now, Lord, I pray that we will always seek to live according to what God's Word teaches and live in obedience to it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.